Though it's been 4 years since the death of their mother, 17-year-old twins Savannah and Thomas McClaire and their grandmother Maggie still mourn her loss. In search of answers and family ties, Savannah and Thomas decide to search for their biological father, documenting the process through a podcast, hoping it will get answers to a seemingly fruitless search. The podcast goes viral, and they are shocked to see how their search ignites a national debate over privacy. Gretchen Anthony's new book, The Kids Are Gonna Ask, is a modern coming-of-age story, emotionally perceptive and sharply funny. Gretchen is the Minnesota author of Evergreen Tidings from the Baumgartners. Her work has been featured in The Washington Post, Medium, and The Right Life, among others. And I'm excited to welcome her to What We're Reading. Gretchen, Savannah and Thomas, the main characters in your new book, The Kids Are Gonna Ask, despite being twins, they have very different personalities. Can you tell us a little bit about them?
In some ways, I would describe them as very typical for teenagers of their age, except for the fact that they experienced this incredible trauma in their lives of having lost their mother when they were 13. Thomas is quiet. He's got his core set of friends, and he is just focused on the things that he feels good doing and that he's interested in doing. Besides that, he doesn't really go outside his comfort zone. Savannah, on the other hand, is a 17-year-old girl that I think also I've known so many of. Whereas her brother is 6 feet tall, Savannah's really short. She's, 5'2", 5'3". And she's just all personality and drive. And she is also really smart, and she's outspoken, and she has opinions that she's not afraid to share. And yet, being a 17-year-old girl, it's different for girls who are smart and outspoken like that, because they're often told, we don't want your opinion. They're often told to back up in so many ways. I don't know that she would qualify the question as this, but she wonders, where do I fit? Am I smart and outspoken and allowed to have these thoughts and opinions and share them with the world, or am I just weird? The other thing about Savannah is that she is very clear about where she wants to go in the future. She's a writer, whereas Thomas, who, on paper sort of has every opportunity available to him, he really doesn't have any idea. He's a little bit more listless.
I think we would be remiss without mentioning the third main character, which is their grandmother, Maggie. Can you tell us about what role she plays in their lives?
Oh, Maggie. I also loved Maggie. I refer to her in the book as a people collector. She is naturally extroverted, but also just incredibly driven by curiosity and love. She is at home raising these two twins who are growing up in the aftermath of having lost their mother in a tragic traffic accident. And Maggie is also lonely. I think of her as a lonely extrovert in a lot of ways, because she feels so passionately about giving Thomas and Savannah, her grandchildren, a safe place to spend the remainder of their teenage years, and giving them some semblance of a childhood, sending them off into the world with confidence and joy. She allows them, not without thought, but she allows them to take what turns out to be one of the biggest, most consequential steps in their life, to not only go looking for their biological father, but to do so in a very public fashion by launching this podcast. In some ways, I was raised by parents who allowed me to take big risks like that. And I wanted to model that in Maggie. I hope I'm the same kind of mother, where I'm cognizant of the risks. I don't allow my children to make them without thought or without parameter, but that I don't let my own fears get in the way of them having incredible experiences in the world.
Gretchen, The Kids Are Gonna Ask is a very modern story in many ways. We have this multi-generational family. Social media kind of drives the story forward. And as you just mentioned, the podcast that Savannah and Thomas create plays a big part in your story. What was the inspiration behind this very public search for their biological father?
Well, the idea of putting a podcast at the heart of one of my novels was not much of a stretch, because I actually am a huge fan of podcasts and have been listening to them for years. My queue is endlessly long of all the podcasts that I'm listening to at any given time. And so I love them and was looking for an opportunity of how to put one maybe at the heart of a story, but it had to be the right podcast. And while I was feeling around for the idea for my next book, tragically, the shootings in Parkland, Florida, at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School happened. And in the aftermath of that shooting, a number of the students who survived that shooting decided that they'd had enough and that the leaders of our country weren't handling the issue of gun control and gun safety. They no longer felt how it was being handled was justifiable, and they decided to take over the debate themselves. And they made an immediate splash in the world. And very quickly, they gained an enormous amount of public support and praise for their bravery and for their willingness to stand up and take on a complicated issue. Not soon after that, other aspects of society got their teeth into them and vilified them at the same time. And the mother in me was responding emotionally, watching them stand up. And I was so proud of them and so amazed at their bravery and emotional intelligence and their willingness to stand up and articulate what they believed and what they'd been through. And at the same time, I was really fearful for them, especially watching them be attacked day in and day out. And all of them were still emotionally children. Many of them had reached, 18 years of age and were legally adults, but emotionally and socially were hardly, just baby steps into adulthood. And so, the mother in me, like I said, was fearful for them. And I took a step back and I wondered if we as a society can so easily attack children on a topic like this, what else would make us respond so viscerally to children? This book became part of my answer. Questions of sex and privacy and family and what should be accepted in our modern culture, those are thorny questions and they really rile people's emotions.
That's Minnesota writer Gretchen Anthony. Gretchen's new book is a sharp and funny modern coming-of-age story about a twin brother and sister's search for their biological father. The Kids Are Gonna Ask is the title of her new book. Gretchen, in the very first line of this story, we are introduced to Maggie's red dining room table. This is a plain wood dining room table that she painted a vibrant red, and it's a table that has been witness to many people and many conversations. It may seem weird to say this, but it seems this table somehow plays a role in this story.
It's not weird to say that at all. I'm so glad you picked up on the red table. The red table is actually, it's a real table. And it was the table that my grandmother was a baby at. Her parents had it out on the farm, and it is just as Maggie describes it in the book. It's claw footed and can seat 12, and it was an oak, just a very bland oak table, and my grandmother painted it a vibrant almost orange red. And that has always psychologically spoken to me a little bit. I just thought, why would my grandmother of all people do that? And I had one of those weird moments that writers have where they don't know why something is coming into their mind, but it's coming in as you're writing. And that was the Red Table moment. I was like, why am I writing about the Red Table right now? But I'm just going to go with it. And to Maggie, I finally realized that to Maggie, it represented this, what I was talking about earlier, her unwillingness to surrender to the fear of what could be with, you know, if you talk about certain subjects or if you broach certain subjects or if you let certain people speak and have opinions, she is unwilling fundamentally to give into that. And so Maggie keeps this table bright red, and she keeps it red as a symbol that when you walk into our dining room, you're going to recognize that we're different here. Everybody's going to have a voice, and we're going to engage you even when it gets gnarly. And they have gnarly, you know, she has a whole history that we go into a little bit in the book, or I go into a little bit in the book, of bringing in controversial people and sitting them down at the table together and having these wild conversations. And I think it's a wonderful symbol of how she decides to live her life.
There's a real authenticity to Savannah and Thomas and Maggie, as well as some of their close friends. I think apart from your skill as a writer, having the story set in Minnesota maybe adds to this. As a Minnesotan and a writer, what is it about this Minnesota sensibility that lends itself so well to fictional characters?
I love Minnesotans. I was in a conversation the other day for a book at my book launch event with J. Ryan Straddle, who wrote Kitchens of the Great Midwest and The Locker Queen of Minnesota. And he also grew up in Minnesota and continues to write about Minnesota characters. And we had the grandest time throwing back and forth ideas about why Minnesota is such, it's so rich with characters. And part of it is because culturally we're both subtle and contradictory. So we... For example, in my last book, the matriarch, Violet, was so incredibly judgmental, but she judged everyone in her own head. It's one thing to be very judgmental and have opinions about how people should live their lives and what they should do, but we also, as Minnesotans, we love to keep that to ourselves. We don't toot our own horn. And so to a stranger, to someone who's coming in, you know, and hasn't spent much time with us before, they see us as mild-mannered and maybe not so outspoken, but when you peel back the layers a little bit, we're anything but. We're incredibly interesting, and I've always loved that about us. And I also think that in the midst of that, there's just a subtle humor that's rich for the mining. Not because I want to make fun of us, not by any means, but because I want to celebrate just how rich we really are as a people. And, you know, that's reflected in everything from the geography of our state and the hardiness of who we are as a people and how hard we work and how winter barely phases us because it just is part of who we are. Yeah, I'm continually inspired.
Gretchen Anthony's new book is The Kids Are Gonna Ask. Gretchen, congratulations on this book. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed talking to you today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this.